Most of yesterday, we just started to introduce the question about the Sa'ot B'cholav. So the starting point was, of course, Osvashim B'di B'chol B'imo, where you deal, literally translated, maybe mean a goat. Clearly, the halacha doesn't just mean a goat, it refers equally to all the Sa'ot. According to one time, it actually applies to the Sa'ot as well. Others that are disagreed and said, no, that the Sa'ot is not usher in the Torah for a variety of reasons. Either because it's just not called a gedi, or because it doesn't have cholav imo, it doesn't have any milk, it's not a mammal, and therefore it cannot be asur min haTorah. Assuming that it's not asur min haTorah, will it at least be asur min haRabbanim? That was a further machlokes that the Rabbi Yosef Glidden said, and everybody else. Rabbi Yosef Glidden claimed that there's not even a nisah deRabbanim, and all the other Tanaim said, no, at least a nisah deRabbanim it is going to be. So how do we pass the halacha and the three possibilities? Is it the nisah deRabbanim not at all? The not at all was for sure rejected. Because it was for sure that Yochanan that was rejected. Whether or not it's the Raisa of Rabbanim was still left hanging as the Machlokes and Rishonim. So we're just going to make a quick mention of the Sheet and Rishonim that was really the minority view, and then we're going to continue for the rest of the Sheet, the rest of the Sugya, assuming the way we passed it, Allah, the Rabbi Rishonim passed it this issue. So the visit tells us, tucked away in Masech HaSchulim, where Tosfos' opinion is that Masat Of is in fact Asur min haTorah. It's really a Tosfos that we're going to come to a little bit later on. Sugya down the line, we're going to talk a lot more about this Tosfos, but we'll just make a quick reference to it now because it is, in a sense, a descending view in this Sugya. Tosfos' opinion is that Masat Of is in fact Deraisa. What context did Tosfos make the statement? Tosfos was discussing the prohibition of a person eating meat and then potentially eating milk afterwards. Now, we are, of course, all familiar with this idea, the notion that a person is flinchous, they can't eat milk until later. But the truth is, that's a, I don't want to say it's a new concept, but it's a very, very derabbanitic concept. That is not at all a possible kol deraisa. The kol deraisa has to be eating the foods together, but actually, you know, the foods have to actually be cooked together. They're visual. If you take a piece of meat, throw it in a pot of milk, and cook it up and then eat it, that's possible called deraisa. If you have a slice of meat with a slice of cheese together cold, that's only possible called deraisa. That's what the Rav used to say, that to be possible called deraisa has to be possible bichal in the bay, especially bachal, it has to be literally, you know, cooked together, mixed together. To be bosom b'chalav d'rabbanan, that's to be bosom v'chalav with a vav. As long as you have your bosom and chalav together, you have that bosom in chalav, that's also bosom in d'rabbanan. Then Chazal extended that issa d'rabbanan, the bosom v'chalav. Not only is it prohibited to have a sandwich with a slice of meat and a slice of cheese on top, everything cold, it's even also to have one after the other, because they're having one after the other, and they have meat. Let's say we start off at this point. We start off with meat first, then the meat remains in your mouth for a while. When the summer showed him, it literally remains in your teeth. So the Rambam says that the meat also then remains in your according to Rashi, the taste of meat is strong, so the taste remains in your mouth for a while. So if you go ahead and you have your bowl of ice cream a little bit after you had your roast beef, that's an extension of the issur d'rabbanan of eating basar v'chalav. So that's really a jump and a jump and a jump. So the rice is basar v'chalav cooked together. But the d'rabbanan is we eat the two together, and then Chazal extended that to Rabbanan, and even if it's not literally physically together, but it's a little bit together because of the Basa Shem and Shirayim, it's a little bit together because of the Tava and Basa Shem Pat. It's also called eating Basa Bichalav, and that's prohibited with Rabbanan. And that's what the famous Gemara Chulin says, Achal Basa Bichal Gvina. And a person eats meat, so then they can't just eat cheese right away. They have to do something to make sure that those reasons no longer apply. And that's the whole sugya now. What do you have to do? You have to figure it out. You have to wait. And how long do you have to wait? So the suda is that objective, subjective, 6 hours, 3 hours, 1 hour. And that's really a whole gamut of opinion. That's supposed to see you down the line, not too long from now. Hopefully we'll get to the details of that suya. But that suya impacts on us because in the middle of that suya, the Gemara makes a sweeping statement. The Gemara says that when it comes to oaf, if you ate chicken, I think it's no problem. Chicken, there's no need to wait. You might use the phrase, oif v'vir nechol ba'apikorim. Apikorim means like apikorsis, have caris. It means you can eat meat and cheese, that's okay. You don't have to really wait between poultry and cheese, between oaf and cheese. So the Rishonim are trying to figure out why is that any different? Why is that true? So Tosfos writes, the reason why that's true is because it must be that Pesach Oaf is on a midrabanan. when you deal with Musar Hey, which is a deraisa, even though none of this is deraisa, it's not their bishop, so there's no deraisa anywhere near us. But since Musar Hey is a potential deraisa, if you need a derbishop, so therefore the derabonim, they threw all these chumers at you, ochel bosna, ochel gvina. But if it's only Musar Hey, which is anyway on the derabonim, the starting point is on the derabonim, yeah, so then chazal and you can have chicken for dinner, they can have regular milchic ice cream for dessert. No hesitation whatsoever, says Tosus, without saying tomorrow. Then Tosus turns around and says, it's a strange question. Tosus says, even though in the Gemara it says explicitly, you don't have to wait between chicken and milk, it's fine. Tosus says, well, we don't do that, says Tosus. Nobody does that. Tosus looking around France in the 1100s and saying, nobody would say such a crazy thing. Who would ever let you have a piece of cheese? You have to finish your chicken sandwich. Tais says, why not? Why don't we do what it says in the Gemara? Tais is very simple. Because Bizman, the Gemara made this statement, the Gemara was assuming that Pesach Olf is only Durabonim. Therefore, we're more lenient to Pesach Olf than we are from Pesach Beima. But says Tais, we paskin, we with a capital W, we paskin that Pesach Olf is in fact their Isa. So for us, we cannot avail ourselves of that kula. We have to be machmir to treat Pesach Olf like Pesach Beima. The one day in the Gemara, one lone sheep in the Gemara that held the Pesarovus and the Drabonim, they were able to be more makel with cheese and then foul cheese with milk. We can't do that because we hold Pesarovus their eyes. That's how Tosfos explains what I'm in there. In fact, nobody in today's world would dream of having milk except having chicken. That's because we are grounded in the view that Pesarovus their eyes. Now, truth to be told, that Tosfos is a Nasrachim. Rov HaRishayim, including we in Shulchan Aruch, do not accept that Tosfos. We basket that Pesach Olf is in fact the Rabbanim, like Rabbi Akiva, like Moshe, the Tanoim, the Pesach Olf is only the Rabbanim. So the other Rishayim have to give a different reason why we don't follow what it says in the Gemara, why nobody ever heard of such a thing of having milk except after a chicken. So the Rabbanim has an entirely different challenge, but the Rabbanim they now read it from Tosfos that comes out. The Gemara never said it, Tosfos didn't claim it, Gemara said. But again, we have to wait till down the line, a couple of things down the line, till we get to that issue of waiting between chicken and milk. But and again, for our purposes, the kernel we have to extract from the sugya is that cheese at Tosfos is in fact that Pesach Olf really truly is their answer. So this is in stark contrast to the Rambam. Take a look at the fifth of the Rambam Kabbalas. So the Rambam in Uchus Machos Asuras per Tesla Kadalit. So the Rambam writes, "V'chein b'sarach chayev v'of, bein b'chol chayev, bein b'chol bein, ein os mechkilim in the Torah." That not only is b'sarach of the Rabbanan, even b'sarach chayev is the Rabbanan. If you remember, this is a throwback to yesterday. We said that it was mechleges at the time why b'sarach of is excluded, either because it's not called a gedi or because it doesn't have milk. We said the nafkamin would be about a wild animal. So if you cook deer meat with milk, would that be deraisa or not? So according to those who exclude Ophos from the word Gedi, Chai is also not called a Gedi. Those who exclude Chai from the Chalavimah, so Chai does have milk. So the Rambam is not only being lenient, that Pesach Olf is the Rabbanan. The Rambam is going one step further and saying Pesach Chai is also the Rabbanan. This is just a problematic Rambam because there's another Rambam where it doesn't seem to say that about Pesach Chai. But yeah, that's not really Asuri, it's not Pesach Chai, Asuri, Pesach Olf. So we'll put that in hold for another time. But the Rambam is very clear here that Pesach Olf is not Asur in the Torah. Therefore, the Rambam draws a conclusion. Lefikach, the Rambam says the end of the first line of the fifth Rambam is Lefikach b'levash lo mutmanoa. Therefore, because Pesach Olf is under the Rabbanan, it is permissible to cook Pesach Olf v'cholav, and it is mutter to derive benefit from Pesach Olf v'cholav. So the Rambam just told us a loaded statement, which again is not. We're not up to this part of the Rambam yet. We're going to talk about this very, very soon. Now, I've just told us a loaded statement that whenever the issue of Moshe Mechal on hand is only a Durabanan, the Issa Durabanan only applies to Achila, doesn't apply to Bishul, doesn't apply to Hanan. Now, we have no idea yet where the Rambam got that from, and we have no idea why that should be so. Because Mechorah, the Issa Bishul, the Issa Hanan also assumed that Issa Mepashtas. Why should we almost arbitrarily say that vis-a-vis Achila, we're going to make a gezeira over to Beima, vis-a-vis Bishul, no, we're not going to. So we have a lot of work cut out for us as the sugya develops as to why the Rambam said, how did the Rambam know that statement was true? And what's the rationale for that statement being true? And does everybody agree to that statement? So we have a lot of work cut out for us, hopefully about the second half of the Rambam. But again, the part that we're still focusing on is the fact that the Rambam holds that the Pesach Oaf is very, very clear, is only the Rambam. The Osim Yachim in the very centrum. And it's prohibited in the Rabbanon. And if I would ask you, why is it prohibited in the Rabbanon? Why does Chazal have it in for Pesach Oaf? I would say, it's a very simple gezeirah. Oaf and bosses. Sometimes you go to a shmoma's board, you can't even tell what you're eating. You don't know. Is it oaf? Is it behema? Look at it. Is it shwama? Is it lamb shwama? Is it chicken shwama? Is it turkey shwama? Not always so easy to tell. So I would say that the reason why Chazal made this gezeirah in the Rabbanon is Rab, even for us, Rab was already committing himself to the view that it's only the Rabbanon. I would say you don't need any great philosophy for why there's such a gezeirah. I would say it's very simple. It's a gezeirah in the Rabbanon, otu b'sar behema, because you can easily mix up. The Rambam says more than that. The Rambam gives you a whole background to this gezeirah the Rambam. But also the Achim and the Reisayfer, k'day shelo yifshu ha'am, because we're afraid that people are going to become negligent. The avodah de'isabas b'chol shel Torah, that they're going to end up violating the Sar Behema, which is their Isa. The Yochum B'Sar Behema Torah b'chol Behema Torah, which would be a disaster. And if I was the Rambam, I would have stopped right now. I have nothing else to add. It's a gezeirah the Rambam. Why do you have to add any more than saying you can't move a pencil on Shabbos, so you're going to write with a pencil? It's a very, very simple rationale for a gezeirah. Don't need Pesach Behema, don't need Pesach Oaf, gezeirah to Pesach Behema. The Rambam goes for it. The Rambam says, Shaharei, a mashba kosov, el gedi b'chalav imo mamish. Lefikach, asu kol bosu b'chalav. The Rambam says that the reason why Chazal made this gezeirah by Pesach Oaf is because they had reason to believe that people are going to be negligent with Bosnachol. There's a chashash, there's a concern that people may end up in Nichshol and Bosnachol for a very, almost like a legitimate reason. What's the legitimate reason? Because for the person who never learned Masechus Chumash, doesn't, is not so grounded in Tosh HaBapah. So he opens up a Chumash, and Chumash says, Osvashim B'Bachol HaBibay. So he thinks that that means a goat with its mother's milk. He says, what more or less? The Torah doesn't say anything about taking a piece of roast beef and taking milk from another animal and mixing it together. So for the person who's not grounded in Tosh HaBapah, he's going to read the Pasuk in Chumash. He's going to think everything goes. So now Chazal would be very, very, very nervous. That's going to create a mindset of Arithia in Bas B'chala. And now all of a sudden, the person who anyway is ready one strike against Bas B'chala in people's minds. So the unlearned person is going to see the rabbi, and the rabbi is going to be eating chicken together with milk. So the person is going to think, wait a second, the rabbi is eating chicken together with milk, chicken, meat, that's all the same thing. Oh, must be the rabbi knows that the Pasuk really only means Basa b'chalav ima, only the mother's milk itself. It must be that Basa b'chalav is really, really, really limited in the Torah. So because of the nichshol, because of the almost, I don't mean to say it all, obviously, anyway, almost like the misleading, so to speak, that the Chumash is presenting us the possibility to be misled, the person who's not well-versed in Tosh HaBapah will easily make a very honest mistake about the Pasuk. The Pasuk is so misleading. So the Yom Chazal had to go to the other extreme. They had to say, we have to make a special gezeirah d'rabbanan to offset the misunderstanding, because it's so easy to have that misunderstanding. And that's the reason for the gezeirah d'rabbanan of Pesach Oaf. It's not just don't eat chicken unless you come to eat meat. It's because there's more of a reason for concern. And this is a theme that we find in other Rishon and other areas of Halach also, that there are almost like different daggers of chashashas d'rabbanan. There's a general, you know, Shvat is Bishvat. The general Chazal had reasons to make gezeirah d'rabbanan. And 95% of the gezeirah d'rabbanan, you don't have to really explain it. They're pretty self-explanatory. Don't do this on Shabbos because you're going to come through this. Don't do this because you're going to come through this. But every once in a while, Chazal had other factors, other almost like psychological factors. It wasn't just a clear cut, don't do A because of B. There is reason people are going to do B. There is a concern people are going to do B. There's a very, very real, legitimate, psychological reason that people are going to end up initially being And that upped the ante a little bit. And that psychological concern that forced Chazal to make gezeiros, and perhaps even more gezeiros than they would have otherwise liked to do, because it was a very, very slippery slope. It's like LaMashal, we have the very, very first Tosfos in Pesach, and the Beis Yosef Beit Hashem next year. So so the Shiva's learning the Sefer Pesach next year in the Beis. So the very, very first Tosfos discusses the gezeimah, the rabbanon of bedikas chametz. The Gemara says in Pesach and Dalet that min haTorah there's no need to do bedikas chametz. Min haTorah, the bittul b'yal sa'ay. You can just say kol chamira, say chametz, says hefti after the yara, and call it a day. You can leave all chametz all over the place. There's no need to go clear your house of chametz. But the rai said bittul b'yal sa'ay. But the rabbanon of Pesach and bedikas chametz. That's the first mission of Pesach. All the abbas of bedikas chametz. The mission records that did the rabbanon of bedikas chametz, even though you did bittul already min haTorah. What's unclear in the Mishnah is that why the Chazal is in the Mishnah says why Chazal is in the biggest chometz. It says the Pesach of the chometz, you got to go with a sheikh Rishon says well, the chometz, go around the cave, the flesh, the chometz under the beds to fulfill the mitzvah that are bottom of the biggest chometz. Why? Unclear in the Gemara. What was wrong with the Dera'isa? There was a big lechlekes of Rishon. What are we worried about? So Rashi says we're afraid. L'bay Rav Emotzei. Apparently, we're afraid that you're not going to do bittul properly. So it's going to go wrong with bittul, and therefore, Chazal was very, very weary, lest you end up by mistake only chametz and bezim. So Tosfos writes, that's not the reason. Tosfos writes that bezim sachem. My Rav Emotzei is long b'psal of bittul chametz. Nothing could go wrong post bittul chametz. But there's a reality. The reality is you make up the chametz. If you just get up on our base and mabach the chametz, and leave pizzas in your freezer, and leave cookies in the pantry, and leave cereal boxes on the, you know, the closet, and leave your pasta sitting on the table, the whole by the lechah seder, and you leave chametz all over the place. Even though when I tell you you're okay, when I tell you you're mabachal, so Tosfos claims once you're mabachal, it's yours. It's chametz lehefki. Not even if it's chametz shelcha. Tosfos says, but it's still a problem. What's the problem? Gezeira shel yavel yachol. We're afraid you're going to eat the chametz. So that's the reason for Medivis Chametz. Gezeira shel yavel yachol. So then Tosfos asks the question, how come we don't find that gezeira by other Yisroel? Let's say there's no gezeira, you're going to find chazer around. Let's say a person moves into a house, it's owned by a guy. There's chazer in the closet, there's the bed, there's the table, this thing, the freedom. There's no different than one. You got to go the first day, you move into a house and go with your candle and go walk around searching under the tables for, under the beds for all the chametz itself, for all the chazer in the bells and trains. Why would chazer more macha than chametz? So Tosfos makes a very simple cheshbon. It says, because people are used to eating chametz all year. People are not used to eating chazer. Who's going to, what from Jew is going to by mistake eat chazer? But what from Jew may mistakenly eat chametz on Pesach? Very, very possible. That was in the Marshall. Person goes to a baseball game. The opening day, Chalwai, goes to a baseball game. Chalwai Pesach. So what are the odds that he's going to by mistake forget and order himself a tray for hot dog? Leaving out the kosher hot dog stands. What are the odds that he's going to go and order a tray for hot dog? He's going to order a tray for hot dog. Since when does a from Jew go to a goyish setting and call guys yelling out, hot dogs, hot dogs, oh, give me hot dog. Oh, I thought it was kosher. I was like, sure. What Jew would ever do this? What from Jew would ever do this? But a guy walking up and down the seats in the baseball game and selling a bag of pretzels. So, oh, let me see the bag of pretzels. So he orders the bag of pretzels. Take the Baruch Hashem's guy, oh, you want it, fantastic. And he starts eating the pretzels. He forgot it's Pesach. That's possible. Why? Every other day he goes every other Sunday to the ball game and he orders pretzels. So that's called Lobin Dilubinay. So he may forget, since he's so used to eating chametz all year long, it's Lobin Dilubinay. So that's what Tosfos says, that if you find a piece of chazer on the floor, you're not going to eat it because you know that's what we do. You find a cookie in the closet, you find a slice of pizza in the freezer. Wake up 2 o'clock in the morning and you're hungry and you're scrounging around and you find some chametz cookies in the freezer, so then you may eat them because Hashem Yavel Yochel. So Tosfos is trying to explain why psychologically there's much more of a concern of Hashem Yavel Yochel, and that would probably chazav the biggest chametz. So you find this idea in Rishonim that some of these areas that are going to need a little push to them, need a little oof to them. To explain, it's not just don't do X is going to do Y. It's there's reason to believe you're going to do Y. There's a very, very real reason. There's a higher concern you're going to do a Y. So that's exactly what the Rambam is saying here when it comes to Bas Mechal. The Rambam is explaining why is it that we're so worried about Pesach Oif Mechal. The answer is, Chazal made so many gezeiros in Bas B'chol, they really, really went the miles in Bas B'chol. They asked Shalom B'derech Mishra, and then they said, Achol Bas B'derech Gvina. And they said, Ofer is also, the Ramah is not even Ofer Yachol Gvina. The Chumra is the Chumra, the Chumra is the Chumra. Why is that? Because it's so easy to slip up in Bas B'chol. And the reason why it's so easy to slip up in Bas B'chol is because Ein B'mash B'chol, because people are going to read the Chumash and get misinformed. One could have accepted the Rambam's idea that there's some extra special psychological concern here of Bas B'chol, but not pinning on the Rambam's reason, not explain it based on the fact that Eva Mashba Kosov. Maybe one could have explained that there's something going on here that's almost like a throwback to Tosfos, that there's something about Bas B'chol that's very, very dangerous, very, very risky. What's risky about Bas B'chol is that all ingredients are kosher. The meat's kosher and the milk's kosher. And it's the mixing of the two that causes problems. So maybe in a person's mindset, one has this idea that maybe it's a combination of those two things that's more of a cause of concern than we would otherwise have in the realm of other Isurim. So again, it's the idea of the Rambam that we have a red light on. When it comes to Bas B'chol, there's a big, big red light in front of us because Chazal threw a lot of gezeiros, halachos and chumras above and beyond the call of duty, because there was such a need for it, because there was such a concern of slipping up. So again, one of the reasons of slipping up is the Rambam's idea. And we're getting on, maybe Cain, the Tysus, a little bit of him. There's another possible reason for slipping up. It's interesting, just on a historical note, so I don't know that much about the Karaim movement. The Karaim were a big force in the Jewish community. I read it before the times of the Rambam, times of the Gaonim, they were still around in the days of the Rambam. So the Karaim were almost like a Chesanes of the Tzdukim of old. It means they were a group that arose in the period of the Gaonim that basically denied the authenticity of Torah Shiva Peh. So they weren't just a handful of Mishugoyim, they were very, very large numbers of people. And they caused a lot of trouble. Very, very big troublemakers for the Jewish community. And they created a whole system about the curses, a whole system of another, I can't even say another version of Judaism. It wasn't Judaism. They did things that were blatant violations of the Torah Shiva Peh. Personalities such as Rav Sajiko and others fought vehemently against them. But eventually, after time, they weakened and ultimately disappeared. What's left of the Quran today is a shul in Yerushalayim, actually right down the block from Yeshiva Kotel. I think the official address, I don't think anyone ever actually wrote a letter to Yeshiva Kotel, but we never do. So I think the address of Yeshiva Kotel, I think it's Rechava Karayim, if I'm not mistaken. So next time you're in Yeshiva Kotel, when you walk down, when you're walking from the Rova, from the stores to Yeshiva Kotel, on the left side, you can take a peek, there's the Beis Knesset Sacharayim. I have never, ever seen a human being walk into that shul. Anyone ever seen anyone in that shul? I'm sure you've passed it many, you know, that's for sure exactly what I'm talking about, right? On the corner there. I've never, ever seen anybody. I don't know if they have none of them anymore. That's the Beis Knesset Karayim. So what was left of a movement that almost decimated the Torah Jewry 1,000 years ago is a run-down, locked up, quote-unquote, shul in the heart of Yerushalayim. And, of course, the next one is the thriving Kultura of Yeshiva Kotel. So if you want to know who is ultimately victorious in Jewish history, it's pretty clear that the Torah Shiva Peh carried today, as it always has. There were many, many times throughout history where there were forces that were raised against Torah Shiva Peh, from the Tzdukim, the Baisusim of old, to the Karoim, to other forces, but recently in our history, and history has proven time and time again that when a movement deviates from authentic Torah Judaism, particularly from the Torah Shiva Peh aspect, so it may look like it's strong and it may pick up numbers very, very, very quickly, but the bottom line is it never lasts. It always easy come, easy go. In history, 200-300 years is a very, very small amount of time, and it always fails in the end. But anyway, well, why am I mentioning this? Because it could be that the Rambam had this a little bit in his back of his mind also. The battle of the Karoim were the ones who had this notion of as part of their kfir, Torah Shiva Peh, so they would say, Kedibah Chalavimah means, Kedibah Chalavimah. but you're allowed to eat flesh, you're allowed to eat milk together, there's no such thing. You can have meat with another animal's milk. No, that's really true. They read the pshut, not literally the pshut, but I'm saying the epicurus version of the Torah. So maybe the rabbi always had this in the back of his mind by saying that people like that are going to come around, and people like that really did exist, and therefore to offset that mistake in a sense, either epicurus or amaratus, depending on what you want to call it, there were some people have said, oh, that person today, he's such an epicurus. And, it's been said many times over that no, most people today are not really epicurus, they're simply epicurus. To be a real epicurus, you have to know a lot to be a real epicurus. Most people today are not even certain to be called epicurus. But whether you're concerned with epicurus or epicurus, so the Rambam was worried about that, that people are going to say, like the Chol Mamish, and that, of course, would be terribly wrong. So what all does settle the Rambam sheet is that Pesarov is the only Rambam for whatever reason. The Rambam gave possibly other reasons. The Rambam is so convinced that Pesach Ov is the Rabbanan, but the Rambam has a very, very forceful statement. I'm just going to skip ahead for a moment to the 14th of the Rambam Kavos. We didn't skip the entire sugya. Just as a comment that the Rambam makes in the 14th of the Rambam Kavos that puts into light what the Rambam Shita is about Pesach Ov in a very, very strong light. So the Rambam in the 14th of the Rambam Kavos tells us, "Hol v'yesh l'beis the lings of a lesser the Ramutar." Chazal have the authority to make gezeiros, to make usurim. The Amidi Surah Deiris, and those prohibitions that they institute can last for Deiris Deiris, and Chazal can make, and it's a Muktzah, and Muktzah is here forever. You can make Yisurim in a Chastiga, and a Chaskashas, and those Yisurim become part of our Messiah, part of our Tesh Rapeh forever, and we have to listen to them. And a person doesn't listen to the Chachmei Torah, Rambam Sheet is, he's in flagrant violation of that Torah of the Sos, where Dabba Sheh Yucha and Yitzmah. The Amidi Surah Deiris, and those Yisurim are going to remain forever. The Chayin, similarly, Yesh b'hem lahatir yisur yitar, if you show that Chazal can lift yisur in the Torah temporarily, this is a little bit tricky. Chazal do not have the authority to say that you're allowed to do yisur in the other one. Chazal cannot do that. What Chazal can do is they can lift yisur for emergency measures. Let's say, for example, Chazal would realize that for right now, for this particular Shabbos, we insist everyone has to mechal Shabbos such a way, not because we go to them, some unbelievable tzerich hashoh or something the Chazal have, so that they're allowed to do. If you show they're allowed to tell you the bar that it is a deraisa, but they're not allowed to be eikid of the Torah because they cannot make a rule and say, oh, it's okay to eat treif, it's okay to mechal Shabbos, and we're going to do away with the yisra of this balacha. That they have no courage to do. What they can do is, on an emergency basis, you can do what's called the Migda Milsa. There's some special siyachs, some special reason that they feel necessary to temporarily suspend the din of the Torah. The Gemara says in Maseches Yevamos that the source of that din is the parish of Navi. But Navi also has no koyach to uproot a mitzvah of the Torah. When Navi comes and says, I just received the nevuah that the malacha of Havara doesn't apply to one Shabbos. I just received the nevuah that the issue of eating comes to face and doesn't apply anymore. So that's a sure sign the fellow is in Navi Sheker. And he's Chayim Nisal, so Navi Sheker, that's the absolute giveaway. Believe yourself, anytime, no matter what he tells you you're going to spoke to him, he tells you whatever, Mishigas, he tells you, if he tells you to violate, he didn't deter the terrorists, that's a sure sign that he's a Navi Sheker. However, what a Navi can do is, he can be okay with Dovah Lamig the Milsa. What he can do is he can temporarily suspend, not revoke, but he can suspend the Din of the Torah temporarily. That he can't do. The Gemara says that Navi didn't do it. The Eliyahu, the most famous example, was Eliyahu told the people in Harakamra, up there in Haifa, when they were fighting with the Navi Abbaal, he told them to violate the Issa Diraisa of Shkut Echutz and Amos Chutz, two Yisrei Karis. It was a basic Mikdash, not a Rekarbon of Shkut Echutz and Mikdash. The Eliyahu himself went ahead and shechted a Karbon of Chutz and Mikdash, and he was mauled on the Mizbech Chutz and Mikdash in flagrant violation of what would otherwise have been two Yisrei Karis. The Gemara says, how is that Mutter? Because he had Nevuah from the Rosham to do it. And Bederach Nevuah, a person is allowed to be Eikid of the Torah, but Migda Milsa, on an emergency basis. If Eliyahu would have told them that from here on in, it's Mutter to bring Kavanas out on the basis of Migda, she would have been Chayav Nisa for that. But he didn't say that. He said, it's an Issa Gomer to do it, but today you have to do it anyway because Rav Rosham said, so that's called Migda Milsa. With Murder Rosh from Sukkim, that Nevi'im have that Kayach to do. And then for some strange reason, the Imam makes the jump and says, just as Navi is allowed to do that, so too Beis Din is allowed to do that as well. So Tosfos on the spine of Yevamos says, how does Chazal make that leap of faith? Novi is a Novi, the Baal Shem Tov, based on the human beings. How did the Gemara know that bridge is correct? That's the Yavam Sukkah. That tells us to show you what the connection between those two didn't want. But the Rambam is posing now the following question. He said, a Beis Din has a leeway to, in a sense, change the Dinei Torah. They can take away from Dinei Torah. They can add to Dinei Torah. Dinei Torah, there are 613 things you have to do. And now Chazal said, now there's Muktzah. And now there's Chanukah. Now there's Bishlach. Now there's Kriyas Avihot. Now there's that. So we have a lot more than 613. So what happened? Says the Rambam, Ma'al Zeh Shesir Torah Lo Sosir Lo Sigur Menu. What does the Torah mean when it says that you're not allowed to add to the mitzvah Torah, and you're not allowed to detract from the mitzvah Torah? The whole body of Torah literature called Dinim Derabbanan, both mitzvahs Derabbanan, Sum Derabbanan, how does that fit together with the notion of not adding and not subtracting from the Torah? That's the famous question that the Rambam poses in Hilchos Mamon. So somebody else posed that question as well. Havel of Abdullahs. I posed that question when I was in eighth grade. I remember it was back in eighth grade, back in SAR, I learned Chumash. We were learning Sefer Devarim, we got to Sukkim, Ososif, Alonlo Sigur Menem. So I remember raising my hand and asking at the time, I said that, wait a second, I don't understand. Ososif, Alonlo Sigur Menem are the things that the rabbis added. I don't know if I was able to formulate the questions as well as the Rambam, but I said, wait a second, there are things that are there. Like, we like Chagi candles, doesn't say that in the Chumash. We read the Mugyal, doesn't say that in the Chumash. We don't move Muktzah, doesn't say that in the Chumash. So why isn't that an Isser of Ososif Alonlo? That was the question that I posed. I remember at the time, they were so excited with the question. The teacher at the time was so excited with the question. They brought the principal in to discuss the topic. I remember Rabbi Fold. Rabbi Fold was one of the principals at the time. So I remember he came down to the classroom. It was an open classroom. It was open school. Came back to our room, to our level. And I remember he came and he had a whole discussion about this question, this grandiose question that Tzvi Sadlovsky had discovered at the ripe old age of 13. So again, many, many years later, I realized that I was not the first person to ask this question. The Rambam and his mom already posed the question. The Rambam and the Sadlan posed the question. The Rash, the Rashad posed the question. This was a very, very prevalent question. Rashad and I thought I had discovered America. So the bottom line is the Rambam posed the question. So what's the Rambam's answer? Ram says, what does it mean about Toysif? Says Ram, the second one, Shlo Lahosif of the Ritera, Lo Ligro Mehen, you're not allowed to add to the Torah to track from the Torah. Lo Gvo Hadova Lo Oilam, the Dover Shimon HaTorah, Bein B'Tosh V'Sa B'Tosh V'Tosh V'Tosh. What Chazal are not allowed to do is to be convey us something in a way that's going to detract or add to the Mitzvah Torah. Bein B'Sa B'Tosh V'Tosh. What does it mean to be convey us something? So the Ram explains, Ketz. And he gives the our example. That's why we're reading this Rambam. Harekosu b'toira lo sabashal b'bichal v'ima. It says in the Chumash lo sabashal b'bichal v'ima. V'pi hashmua lomdu. Chazal had a tradition. Whenever the Rambam uses the phrase v'pi hashmua, that always means toshim b'peh. V'pi hashmua lomdu. Chazal taught us shezeh hakosu osu l'bashal olach b'bichal. That isra lo sabashal b'bichal v'ima should not only be understood in its very, very limited karoy mahavdil sense, but rather the pishul we have no we as ma'amim b'nei ma'amim. We believe that the distinct of tashma peh. We have no questions that refers to what we know is bas b'cholov. You're not allowed to cook bas b'cholov. You're not allowed to eat bas b'cholov. Just before we get to the punchline of the Rambam, there's something missing in the Rambam statement. What happened to Hanan? Rambam somehow left that out in his introduction to this discussion, which is going to come back to self-concern in a later day. But the Rambam leaving that for now. The Rambam says, the Torah says, don't eat bas b'cholov, and we know what that means. Bein b'sar behema, bein b'sar chaya, which is another start in the Rambam, because back in the previous Rambam, we read back in the Chos HaSuras, the Rambam cited that b'sar chaya is only the Rabbanim. So that's a strange Rambam here also. I call b'sar of mutta b'cholov min HaTorah. B'sar of is mutta min HaTorah. So what does it have to do with the Rambam's Baal Tosef? So the Rambam is now setting the stage for what Baal Tosef is and what Baal Tosef is not. And he's going to use the example of Basar B'cholov, and he's going to particularly focus on the example of Basar Of B'cholov. So we're going to have to wait until tomorrow to see what this example is, how the Rambam invokes this imagery of Basar B'cholov to solve his dilemma of what in the world Baal Tosef and Baal Tigra are all about. So hopefully in this chapter tomorrow, we'll continue at this point. So the idea for us right now is that We have different sheets in the room, but we say, oh, the chol is deraisa, the rabbanon, not at all. And we, most of us, pass in the middle ground, that's at least with the rabbanon. Tosfos said that the same thing we do, that's deraisa. The rabbanon melts it's only the rabbanon. And so we're going to pass the shulchan aruch. Rambam gave you a psychological rationale for that, it's the rabbanon. We get another possible another one. And now the rabbanon is going to use this as a springboard for his entire theory about what Baltosif is, what Baltosif is not. So let's check, we'll pick this up. We'll pick this up at that point. Those who are interested, so had a, if you noticed something.